Good morning. If you're glad to be here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not glad to be here, there's the door. I'm just teasing, Pastor. I'm not running anybody off from your church. I have a tendency to do that in my own church, run some folks off.
I'm running off myself.
I am thankful in this season of Thanksgiving. I am very thankful to be here. I'm thankful to see a lot of smiling faces that I remember and recognize from our times in Belize. I'm thankful for the Church of the Nazarene. I'm thankful for a denomination that has imprinted upon it its DNA, the idea of a love for missions, a love for spreading the gospel, a love to see the kingdom of God advance throughout the world. I'm thankful for people like you who have given to missions down across the years and all the things that are happening across the world because of God's work in this endeavor of missions and Nazarene missions is a result of people like you who pray, people like you who give. Maybe you can't go to the mission field. Many of you have, but maybe not everybody can have the opportunity. But through prayer and through giving and through sharing and through being a part of a missionary-minded church, you are a part of what God is doing throughout the world. I'm thankful for people like you. I'm thankful for people like Tim and Heidi Carr who housed me and put me up. I'm thankful that I didn't pet Tim's new cat, you know, that black one with a white stripe. I'm thankful for for so many things this year that God is doing, and I am honored and privileged. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the privilege of being here and sharing with you this morning. If you brought the Word of God with you, and I hope that you do have it with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter, and we'll begin reading at the 20th verse. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. Would you stand with me this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Amen. Father of heaven, thank you for this, your day. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your watch, care, and protection over us. Thank you, God, for the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene. Thank you for their heart and love for missions and their involvement in being a part of your mission right here in this great state of Pennsylvania. I pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us as we look to your word, that you would speak to us by the power of your word. In Jesus' precious and holy name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you gain nothing else from what I say this morning, I would like for you to understand and comprehend these three words out of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it's very simply this: God is able. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
Say it with me. God is able. Say it again. God is able. One more time, like you really believe it, like you really mean it. To do immeasurably more. You know what that word immeasurably more means? Those words, it means more than you can measure. That's bigger than the longest tape measure Tim Carr has in his toolbox. That's bigger than the largest measuring cup you have in your kitchen. That's bigger than any measuring device that you can have or find. God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. One translation says that God is able to do superabundantly more than all that we would ask or even think or even dare to imagine. Can I ask you, what do you dream about? What is your wildest imagination? If you ask my wife, she'd tell you I have a very overactive imagination. I love to dream up big things. I love to big things. I love to dream big dreams. I love to be a part of things that only God can receive credit for. That way people can look at me and say, there's no way that ding-dong did anything. He just showed up. God's working through him. And God is doing things in and through his life. It's not him. It's not him. It's only because of what God is able to do. I have an overactive imagination. I love to dream things, big things. I love to live in the clouds. My wife, every once in a while, she's my rock and my fortress, and she helps me and brings me down to earth and brings me out of the clouds and brings me down to reality every once in a while. But sometimes we need to realize that God is able to do more than all we could ask, think, or would even dare to imagine. I don't know what happens, but somewhere along the line, as we get older, we kind of get more grounded in reality. Do you remember being a child? Do you remember being a teenager? Some of you, it's easier than others, but do you remember? You remember those days and the dreams that you had, the imaginations that you had, how you thought about what your life might look like, and the things that you might be involved in, the places that you might go. You had these grand and lofty dreams. Somewhere, some way, somehow, as we get older, we kind of get a little more grounded in reality. And I believe that we ought to be real. I believe that we ought to be realists. I really believe that we ought to have a good comprehension on reality. But every once in a while, I think we ought to still dream. Amen? Every once in a while, we ought to look above, up into the horizon, up into the skies, look into the clouds, and believe that God has given us a dream that is more unbelievably more than we could ever dare to dream or imagine. That's what the Word of God says this morning. It's not my word. It's not my teaching. It's not the Nazarene. It's what God says in His Word, that He is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or even dare to imagine. This morning I want to tell you about a little small mission-minded church in Florida that caught a glimpse of what this passage of Scripture really is all about. I want to share with you their story to give praise and glory to God for what God is able to do. It was a mission-minded church much like this one. They had their World Evangelism Fund and paid their budgets. They had missionary services and did all the normal things that a good Church of the Nazarene would do. But at a church board meeting, the church treasurer came in to give the financial report. That's always the fun time, right? See how much money you have, see how much money you've spent, see how financially well off the church is doing, what's happening. Church treasurer came into this board meeting on a Tuesday night. I don't know why. You guys have Tuesday night board meetings? No. Thursday. Wow, you guys are untraditional. You guys are radical. I don't know what's the matter with you guys. Every other Nazarene church in the whole history of the world has Tuesday night board meetings. That's different up here in Pennsylvania. That's great. I love it. Tuesday night, church treasurer came in to give his report. And with a heavy heart and a low voice, the treasurer shared, "We're broke." Now, don't misunderstand me. God was providing. The church was well taken care of. Everything is going along fine. They could afford to pay the electric bill. They were paying their pastor, their staff. They were paying their budgets, but they had no extra surplus, no wiggle room. They were only surviving week to week. The treasurer suggested that they should some way, somehow, set up a savings account. So if something happens, what if a storm came? In South Florida, hurricanes are prevalent. What if a storm comes and there's a high insurance deductible? What if the roof goes out and we have to replace it? What if there's some kind of accident or injury and there is a need that comes up? And the wise and prudent thing to do was to be prepared for such an event. So the treasurer suggested that they set aside an amount each week out of the income and save it for those type of urgent resources or needs. The treasurer said, "We can afford to save $25 a week." They were broke. Again, God was providing, but they had no surplus, no excess. They were stretched to the max and spread thin. But then something dramatic happened. They went on one of their first mission trips to the Caribbean, and their eyes were opened to a world beyond. As I said, they went through the normal routines of a Nazarene church. They had missionary services, and they gave the World Evangelism Fund. They paid their budgets. They were a good team player, but all of a sudden, their eyes were opened to a real need they could not ignore outside of the four walls of their church. You know, really, that's what we're called to be. This is not church. This is just a building in which we meet. Church really takes place when the people of God who come and gather together get outside of these four walls and make an impact in the community and the lives in which we come in contact with. In which times we get outside of the four walls and we see what's going on beyond the walls of the church, and we try and find out how we can impact our community and how we can affect change in the hearts and lives of our neighbors and our coworkers and the lady at the checkout stand at the grocery store and the barber that cuts our hair. What impact are we going to have on their lives? The people that we work with, the people that come in contact with, how are we going to make a difference in their lives? All of a sudden, this church could not ignore the real need outside of the four walls of their church. And from that point forward, they made a conscious decision to put Matthew 6:33 into practice into every aspect of their ministry and life. Of course, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 simply says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of." The disciples were worried about what they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, what was going to take place, where the money was going to come from, how they were going to survive, if they were in danger from the religious leaders and the Roman emperor and all of these things. And Jesus said, "Hey, let me tell you what you got to do. Just get focused on the right things. Put the first things first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of." That's exactly what this church did. They set up a mission account in their church and in their funds. In addition to their little savings account that they had set up, they set up a fund called Kingdom First Missions. It began with a dream. The pastor and the church treasurer sat on a bench out on the back piece of property behind the church, and they had a dream that they would take an amount equal to their World Evangelism Fund. They said, "Wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be great if one day we could take an amount equal to our World Evangelism Fund, that which we send to headquarters every year for World Evangelism, and we would just take an amount equal to that and use it on missions?" I'm not sure what it was at that point. Maybe about $10,000 for the year, somewhere in there, that they would send for their World Evangelism Fund. So they said, "We want to continue to do our World Evangelism Fund, but we would love, wouldn't it be great if we had an additional $10,000 over here to give to missions, to do more work and witness trips, to be a part of those things?" And it began with that dream, and they began to focus on seeking first His kingdom. They started going on regular mission trips. They went back to the same country. They focused on training leaders and pastors and starting churches. And it wasn't just a couple of years later that the annual meeting came. And again, the church treasurer got up to give his report at the annual meeting of that little church. And he started by saying, "Pastor, do you remember that time? You remember that time we sat on the park bench out behind the property and we talked about and we dreamed about spending an amount equal to our World Evangelism Fund on missions outside of the four walls of our church?" Pastor said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I want to report that this year, and in this year alone, we have given more than 10 times the amount of our World Evangelism Fund to missions." God is able. Do you believe that? God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. This little church, mission-minded church, they gave 7 container loads of supplies. They sent 4 vehicles, 4 vans, 4 buses, 26 motorcycles. 23 of them were brand new motorcycles purchased. They sponsored and helped 3 missionaries They sponsored an internet high school in this country, built a campground, donated over 3,000 Bibles, put solar electricity in 8 churches, 3 parsonages, and financed the salary, helped to finance the salary of a minority pastor on their local district there in South Florida. During a 4-year period, this local Nazarene church gave $999,876 to missions. God is able. Do you believe that? To do immeasurably more. Understand that this was beyond their local expenses, beyond their staff, their budgets, not to mention the $450,000 building addition that they did and they paid for cash. It was all during this same time that they did all these things, but still gave almost $1 million to missions. Can I ask you a question? How does a church go from only being able to save $25 a week to giving over $250,000 a year to missions? Well, you say, well, maybe it was a large church, but it was a church about this size, between 200 and 250 people during this 4-year period. Well, you say maybe there were some large donors. Had to be some large donors. Yeah, there were a few. But over $500,000 was just everyday average people giving to missions. There was one particular time that the church was sponsoring this internet high school, and they were low on funds and needed some resources for this high school. They were sponsoring and helping students to graduate high school, and it was difficult in that country for them to be able to do so. And a young couple came in to the pastor's office one day. They said, "Pastor, we love what God is doing through this church. We love how this church is so active, involved in missions. And we want to be a part of that." This is a young couple, just newly married. He said, "We just sold a piece of property. And we want to tithe on that piece of property." That's kind of unusual, isn't it? You don't often hear that. A lot of times people tithe on their income, their salary, their weekly wages. But when somebody sells a piece of property, oh, they roll the whole thing over into something else or some other investment. But here this young couple, they said, "You know what? God has blessed us and we want to tithe on the sale of this piece of property." No strings attached. They said, "Pastor, use this any way you see fit." They didn't want a name. They didn't want recognition. They didn't want a plaque somewhere. They didn't want to be recognized or noted for it. They just simply wanted to give to God. And this young couple wrote out a $20,000 check and left it on the pastor's desk. Reminds me of the book of Acts. As things begin to happen, because God is able. How do you go from $25 a week to $250,000 a year? How do you go from doing absolutely nothing to being so actively involved in missions that you can't hardly stand it? But it wasn't just that local church that received the blessing. The churches in the country that they were working in received blessing as well. That district had about 35 churches at the time, 31 organized churches and 4 mission churches. Today, they have over 70 churches, 57 organized churches, and 13 missions. Originally, they had 18 ordained elders. The country went for over 20 years without one single pastor being ordained. Now, they have 36 elders. They went from 6 district licensed ministers to 24 district licensed ministers. And as a result of this 5 to 6 year partnership and the growth that happened in the years that following, the district has doubled in size, in some areas, as I just reported, quadrupled in size. And right now, the General Board of Superintendents and the leadership of the church, the denomination of the Church of Nazarene, has approved that this country will divide and create 2 districts, a northern district and a southern district. How does that happen? How does that take place? It's because God is able. If you believe that, say amen. God is able. But there's always a but, right? There's a catch. You knew there was going to be a catch. Every time you go to church, there's a catch. There's a catch somewhere. God is able, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, to able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or imagine. Listen, according to His power, not my power, not your power, not Pastor Wayne's power, but His power that is at work. Two little words, highlight it or underline it in your Bible if you're so inclined to do so. In us. In us. God is at work in us. God has chosen to work through people. I'm not sure why He chose to do it that way. It doesn't seem like the best plan to me, but that's the plan He has chosen. He has chosen to do His work through you and through I. He has chosen to display His power, His immense and mighty power in us. We've been doing something fun at our church over the last year. I've been there just a little over a year. In August was when I first moved back to Temple and getting adjusted to it. But we've been doing something fun over the last year. We've been recording answers to prayer. We've been having our people, of course, there's every church, there's always answer to prayer. I heard several people give thanks for answer to prayer. 5 answers to prayer reported over here this morning. And over the past course of this past year, we have just been recording and reporting answers to prayer. I have a little clicker on my phone, and anytime somebody reports an answer to prayer, we just click a number, and it's displayed up on the screen every week. And I know the number is a whole lot greater than this, but in the last year, we have recorded over 824 answers to prayer in our little church of about 120 people. Some of those are small, insignificant answers to prayer, maybe seemingly insignificant, except for the person that's praying them. Some of them are grand and mighty miracles that God has wrought and moved. One was for a 4-year-old boy that needed a heart transplant. We thought, what are the odds of that happening? But guess what? God showed up in a mighty way. And through the prayers of His people and through the hands and feet of godly people, God responded and heard that prayer, and that little 4-year-old boy is doing well today. Miraculous. I love it because those are 824 things that I can take no credit for. I can't pat anybody on the back and say, wow, you did a good job with that. Only thing I can do is point 824 times to Almighty God and say, God is at work in our midst. When people pray, God answers prayer. Amen? He has chosen to work through His people. He has chosen to work through you and through I. He has chosen to work through the power of prayer through His people. When His people pray, He hears and He answers prayer. I don't know why He's chosen to do it that way. That's up to Him. It's His choice. It doesn't seem like a good plan to me, but it is His plan, and so I like it. God at work in us, in you. I'll never forget one of the times we were receiving a donation of some supplies there in Belize. Had a shipping container, about a 20-foot shipping container, and somebody at a time in which we needed an additional SUV vehicle in southern Belize, God laid it on somebody's heart, and again, mighty and miraculous, it just showed up. They donated this Mitsubishi Montero SUV vehicle, older one. They loaded it up in Florida in a container, in a shipping container, and when the shipping container was loaded, it was sitting on the ground, had about 4 inches. They drove that little Mitsubishi Montero in there, tied it down, loaded a bunch of supplies and equipment around it, put it on by crane on the ship, and the ship brought it to Belize. We had to take it from the port down to southern Belize, and so we hired a truck to haul it, and a big container trailer on a semi-tractor trailer, and the crane lifted it off the ship and set it down on top of that tractor trailer, and it was driven down to southern Belize. Everything was unloaded from it except for the SUV, because when it was loaded, it was about 4 inches off the ground. Now it's about 4 feet off the ground. Been in southern Belize, some of you have, you know and recognize that there's not a whole lot of place to offload things. There's no loading docks. They had gone, the truck drivers knew several places in southern Belize that they thought might have a loading dock. They went to two or three different places, no loading dock to be found. No way to find this, to get this vehicle off of that shipping container. These guys stopped on the side of the road. I was with them in the cab of the truck, because when they unloaded, I was going to drive the vehicle back to our campground. They pulled off to the side of the road. They had gone to their last place to try and find a way to unload it, and decided there's no way to do that. And so they just stopped in the middle of the highway and backed down into a ditch. Now, when I use this word highway in Belize, I use it loosely. You have to understand, you imagine your worst two-lane road here in Pennsylvania, and that's a highway in Belize. Our potholes have potholes. We got one pothole that's 54 miles long. Call it the Hummingbird Highway. So when I say highway, it's a very loose term. But they stopped in the middle of the highway, back down into a ditch, and got as close as they could, and were getting ready to unload this. Problem was, it was still about a foot off the ground and about 2 foot away from the embankment there. These guys, they had been paid. They were ready to go home. They had about a two-hour drive back home from where they were from at the port. And they were ready to be done with this project and get on the road. So they started talking about the Dukes of Hazzard. They suggested I just back that thing up to the back of that tractor trailer and just gun it. Here I'm trying to imagine how I'm going to explain to the donors that just that gave this vehicle, that I've already turned up the front end and drove the radiator into the engine block, and how I'm going to explain that. So I said, no, I don't really think that's going to work too well. About that time, the tractor trailer driver, he flagged down, hailed a friend of his that was driving by. They began to converse back and forth. He was driving a trash truck. Now again, you have to understand, you have to comprehend, trash truck, just a flatbed bodied truck, you know, a stake body side and a bunch of garbage piled up on it. And he said, hey, by the way, you have any lumber in there that we can use to unload this truck? He said, well, I just put some on top just a little bit ago. Go have a look. I climbed up on that top of that trash truck and looked up there, and there were four boards. Now, I'm telling you, if I had gone to Lowe's and picked out the boards and had them cut myself, I couldn't have picked four more perfect boards for this job. You have to understand that this is on the side of the road in the middle of Belize, and there's nothing anywhere in between. It's miles from any civilization, and here in the middle of nowhere, a trash truck shows up with just the exact boards that I need. We don't have Lowe's. We don't have stores and shops like that there. If my wife wanted to go grocery shopping, she went here for staples, here for fresh vegetables, over here for meats and different things. It was an all-day shopping adventure to go grocery shopping for the week. And so to imagine that we would have the resources right there at the right place at the right time, boy, wasn't that lucky. No. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in happenstance. I believe in the will of God. Amen? I believe that God knows what He's doing. I know that God shows up at the right place at the right time. I began to tell that trash truck driver, I said, man, thank you. You are an answer to prayer. You came at the right place in the right time. He said, well, my name is Jesus. So that's the time that Jesus was driving the trash truck in Belize. It doesn't matter what it is or where it is. The problem is, too many times here in the United States, and I'm kind of getting accustomed to it. It's been a bit of a culture shock, and it's been a bit of a learning curve to come back to the United States after being on the field for a number of years. But we don't really need God. Hear me now. Sad to say, we don't need God for a piece of lumber. If we need a lumber, we'll run to Lowe's. We don't need God to help figure out where our next meal is coming from. We've got McDonald's, we've got Walmart, we've got anything and everything that we need, or so we might think. The reality is we need Him more here than we did in Belize. Because I'm telling you, there were many times that He was present and evident. And God is able to do what He wants to do when He wants to do. God used that man to deliver what we needed at the right time. He has chosen to work through Jesus, the trash truck driver, through Scott Shambaugh, Snook, Work and Witness directors and coordinators, a whole host of people that pray, a whole host of people that work, a whole host of people that give. God wants to work in us and through us. God is able to work through you and me. It's not just about paying our World Evangelism Fund and thanking God for the missionaries. It's not just about attending church, showing up, sitting in the pew, singing a few songs, dropping a couple of dollars in the offering plate and thanking God for a great pastor. It's not just about showing up. It's about realizing that God wants to work through you. And it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 18 or 80. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And He is able to use you in a mighty and miraculous way. You might say, well, preacher, these are great missionary stories. I don't know about you, I love hearing missionary stories about what God is doing, China, Africa, or some other country. Just so you know, I've saved some of the best stories for tonight, so come back at 6 o'clock tonight, you'll hear better stories. But it's more than just foreign missions. You see, the God that is able to work in the church like He did in South Florida is the same God who works miracles in South and Central America. He wants to work here in North America. Amen? The very same God who is able to work out all of those deals and circumstances there in Florida and use them in a mighty and miraculous way wants to use Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene in much the same way. Do you believe that? Say amen. I believe He is. But the same God who is able to do these mighty and miraculous things to send Jesus with the four pieces of lumber that we need at the right time is the very same God who is able to work out your physical, your financial, your relational needs right here in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. The same God that is able to heal the blind and cure the lame is the same God that is able to work in you and through you. And if we will let Him, God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask, think, or would ever dare to imagine. It's not just foreign mission fields. It's right here. It's right now. It's whatever you're facing. God is able. God is able. One last time, like I really mean it, like I really believe it. God is able. If you believe that, say amen. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You today for this word and this scripture, and Lord, this picture of a God who's able to do far more than we may think and imagine. Lord God, help us to look to You as a great and a mighty and an awesome God who can do what You choose to do. Help us, God, to give ourselves to be available to whatever You want to do. I think of this part of the scripture that says that He works within us or in us or through us. And God, You want to use Your people. Help us to be available to You. God, help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus every day. Lord, not just when we come into the walls of this beautiful building and are together, but God, when we walk into the walls of our office places and schools and our homes and our neighborhoods and where we shop, God, help us to understand that You call us to be missionaries right there, that every person, every Christian should have a heart that reaches out to people with God's love and God's truth and the gospel. Help us to know that You want to work in us and through us, God. Help us to be available to You. You are able to do great things. Help. I pray for the church today that we'd be the church that You call us to be. Help us to be working on the things that please Your heart, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.